and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We are so excited to be back here on the air for our second week. Today we'll be talking about conscious compassion awareness and whatever you'd like to call in and talk to us about. So stay tuned here for World Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, how are you?
I'm doing exceedingly well. Thank you.
Wonderful.
It's raining, and that's always a big time in California.
The good news in California.
Yeah.
Fill up those reservoirs.
That's right. Well, and even before that, put out those forest fires.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, that first good hard rain, it's most of us breathe a big sigh of relief, and now we can go on and have all the Indian summer we want. Some people would think that it's fall, but we like to call it Indian summer. So we can go right back to those nice 70-degree days, but without the fire danger, it's very restful.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And how are you doing?
I'm great. It's exciting to be back on the air here.
Yes.
Yes, for our second week here.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And I think we've got lots of weeks ahead of us, I hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I hope so, too.
So that would be a lot of excitement.
Yeah. Never ending.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's possible when we're paying attention.
Yes, when we're present.
When we're present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we're present, then it's all exciting. It's only not paying attention, not being present, that causes us to think that we know what's happening, that
uh-huh.
There's the luxury of being bored, that we can drift off into the past or the future.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that's when we get ourselves in trouble and stop having fun. When we're present, we know, wow, who knows where this is going? Who knows what this moment is going to? This one coming up, this one just emerging now. Who knows what it's going to be? Very thrilling.
Yes. Yes, when we're not in a story about the past or the future or we know how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a story and worrying about it.
Yes.
You know, either feeling bad about the past or anxious about the future. But just to be right here as life unfolds, it's pretty darn special.
Yes. And you can join this conversation if you're listening today. That phone number is 888-514-2100. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. So give us a call. Sherry, you have a busy calendar. Often.
Yes. Yes.
All
often,
the time.
Especially now.
Especially now.
Yes, up through this weekend. As you know, we're throwing kind of a big party.
Yes.
Over the weekend, a big party of meditation and prayer for peace, and walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, and a big gala on Saturday night. So we're pretty present and in the moment focused on the now of getting ready for the weekend. You know, sometimes people think that those two things are mutually exclusive. How can you be present and get ready for the weekend?
Uh-huh.
Now, in my experience, when it gets up to these levels,
yeah.
If you're not present, it would be a very scary thing.
Uh-huh.
But to just moment by moment by moment, there's the next thing to do and the next thing to do and the next thing to do. It just arises, and there it is, and we take care of it. And it is all in preparation for this this weekend.
Uh-huh. So we can be present now even though we're preparing for something in the future.
Yes.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No, because if we understand that every moment is whole and complete unto itself.
Yes.
We can also understand that every moment is preparing for the next moment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I'm washing the dishes tonight because in this moment they need to be washed because they're dirty from having dinner, but it's also in preparation for using them tomorrow morning for breakfast.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep.
So it's continuous. It's each moment is complete, and it's a seamless piece of a whole I don't know if seamless is the right word there, but you know what I mean. Even though it's complete as it is unto itself, it is a boundaryless, indistinguishable part of the whole.
Uh-huh. We could go as far as saying it's one.
It's one, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Our Zen, we say it's not one and it's not two. It's not one because look at, if you just, where you are, just look around at all of the various things.
Uh-huh.
And yet, it's not two because it's all variations on the same theme. It's
uh-huh.
all made up of the same suchness. It's one suchness manifesting in an infinite variety of forms.
Yes, yes. We're getting in deep pretty quick here, aren't we?
Yes. I'll tell you, we've been talking a lot about what the bleep do you know?
Yeah.
And somebody told me recently that there is another training film, which I happened to see, and it's called I Heart Huckabees.
Uh-huh.
And when people see it, they'll think about this conversation and the blanket.
The blanket.
Yeah. So this conversation about the... all of the various forms as manifestations of the same suchness. And
uh-huh.
they'll see that in the story of the blanket.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
I will tell you that for me, the last two sentences of the film were worth the whole thing. Not that I didn't find most of it or much of it entertaining, but the last two sentences in the film are pretty priceless.
This is from What the Bleep Do We Know?
No, this is I Heart Huckabees.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Or I Love Huckabees? Is that the same?
Well, it is, but it's Heart.
Heart.
I Heart Huckabees.
Great. So that's a movie that just came out?
Just came out, yeah.
And also What the Bleep Do We Know is another movie that came out recently.
Yes, it's a big time for training films.
Good time for training films. Mm-hmm. This is great.
See, you know, people don't often think of tuning into a show, a radio show on Zen to get movie reviews. But, you know, sometimes it just works that way.
It's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Sherry, you were talking earlier about the Day of Meditation and Prayer for Peace that's coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are in the San Francisco area, we'd love to see them.
Yes. Oh, yes. They could just come on over to Herbst Pavilion, Fort Mason. We'll start about 10 o'clock. They should get there a few minutes early.
This Saturday.
Come on down. And then, and we have great things planned for all day long. We're just finalizing that today. And every time I go through
the schedule.
The schedule of activities. I think, oh my gosh, this what a fabulous day. Michael Lerner and Lakota Harton and Sylvia Borstein and Reverend
Huber.
O'Brien and that Sherry Huber, and we have African body prayer and mindful drumming and a labyrinth, and just goes on and on, the fun things that we're going to do. And then, as you know, the walk across the Golden Gate Bridge the next day, which is really shaping up to be a good time because we're asking people to bring simple little things to send to the children. Those children over there, you know, a pencil is
yes.
just the biggest treasure in the world.
Yes.
And so for, you know, to if people can, to bring some packages of pencils and some inexpensive ballpoint pens and, you know, those little blunt scissors that, so
yes.
they can't hurt themselves, and
yes.
scotch tape and glitter and stickers and crayons and whatever. And we're going to wrap them all up in packages and send them over to the kids. And it's going to be fun.
Good.
Yeah.
So if you're just hearing about this for the first time, go to livingcompassion.org on the internet. Again, that's www.livingcompassion.org, and you'll find out all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, the phones are ringing.
That is so good.
On
a radio call-in talk show, that is a very good thing to have happen.
That's a very good thing. I'd like to welcome Claire from Palo Alto. You're open air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I called last week, and I'm calling again to continue our discussion about acceptance and agreement.
That's right. You were our last person, and we kind of shorted you.
That's right.
And so you were going to look at agreement and acceptance during the week, as we all were.
That's right.
And then you were going to bring us back to the topic this week, so that's very good. What have you seen?
Well, I see that in me there's a bit of a split between the ideal and the actual.
Aha.
In that when I think about it and read about it, I can see that agreement and acceptance are two different things.
Yes.
But when I interact with a specific person, it's like a part of me comes up that it feels really like life and death, like there's no way that this part could ever disagree with this person. It's really difficult to explain, but I just notice how I just become overcome by this, this panic that I have to agree with this person.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's not that you can't help agreeing. It's that you feel you must agree.
Yes, yeah. I cannot disagree.
I cannot disagree. Because if you disagree, what does that mean?
You know, it seems like it comes from a very young part of me. It really feels like I go to this place where this person becomes my mother in a certain way, and it's a real... It's like, if I disagree, then, you know, my life is over. It's really strong.
Yeah, it threatens your survival at a very deep level.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you can you feel yourself becoming young?
Yeah, I can feel this part of me. And then another part of me, like, panics somewhat about, oh, what are we going to do now that this part is here? And then there's another part of me that says, well, it's okay, I can be here and I can just accept. But then I get overwhelmed.
This is all going on.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Which doesn't speak to the issue, does it? I mean, there's the part of you that can accept that somebody very young is there who feels like she cannot disagree or she mm-hmm. might not survive.
Mm-hmm.
There's another part there who's in a panic that this child is there.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like in a situation that is not exactly the best one for a child to be in charge of.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and then somebody else feels like, well, that's okay. We can just accept that this is what we've got.
Right.
But there's not anybody there to deal with the issue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's like I don't know what to do.
Yeah, because there's no grown-up there who can sort of mentor these young people.
Uh-huh.
And then there's nobody there who can be in relationship to this other person as an adult.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the missing people are grown-ups and center.
Right.
Because from a centered place, you could see that, well, that's okay, these folks are here. It wouldn't result in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
From a centered place, there would also be the ability to say, and whatever is the conscious, compassionate, aware response
mm-hmm.
to this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think about, before I interact with this person, sometimes I do a bit of rehearsing about how I'm going to, like, be with them and accept but not agree. And I think about doing, like, reflective listening and returning to my breath. And then when the situation arises, it's like all that rehearsing isn't there for me.
Yeah, it all goes out the window.
It does.
And you're left with this 6-year-old
who's just in a panic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my encouragement always is to continue to interact with this person. In fact, interact more than you have been in the past.
Right.
Yeah, with the sole perspective of helping yourself stay conscious in this situation. So it's like, okay, it reminds me of you probably heard me talk about this. The woman who would talk to her mother and get so off-center And so I encouraged her to make a tape that reminded her to come back to center and to breathe. And it's, you know, this kind of a little mantra of it's all right. Here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, and she put it on a tape and then put the headset just on one ear.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so she's listening, talking to her mother with one ear and listening to this other, with other ear. Now, that's harder if you're face-to-face with the person.
Right.
Yeah, it's good on the telephone, but that is trickier. And yet, if you can go into the situation and say, okay, I'm going to try to stay conscious for 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, and then, okay, I'm gonna try to stay conscious for a minute.
Right.
And you just keep building up and building up and building up until you can stay present and conscious and aware well into the conversation.
Right. Yes, I really like that encouragement to interact with this person more, because I do feel like there's so much more for me to learn about myself.
Yeah.
And I have many opportunities to interact with this person. And there's a part of me that quite likes her, too. It's very interesting how all this is going on in me. So.
Yes. And so to kind of make it a project,
yeah.
You know, write down about all the different personalities who are involved, the ones that we've talked about, and then the one who likes her,
mm-hmm.
who likes this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so get everybody involved and do a little process map with it, you know, so you realize, well, this part of me arises, and then this one comes in, and then this one has this, until it's all so familiar to you.
Right.
That you can stay conscious because nothing is throwing you off. It's like, you know, it's you've seen this play
so many times.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Oh, good, good. Well, at some point you'll let us know how you're doing, huh?
I will indeed. And good luck for the Peace Weekend, this coming weekend.
Yes.
Okay. Bye, Sherry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be back on the air here. It's great to hear from Claire. We're going to take a break here. We're at the end of the first segment, and we'll be back in a moment. Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up in segment two, we'll be taking your calls and talking more about conscious compassionate awareness. So stay tuned and give us a call here on World Talk Radio. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's great to be on the air here, Sherry.
It is indeed.
Yes. Sherry, we have caller on the line. I'd like to welcome Daryl from Tennessee. Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes. Hello, Sherry.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. It's lovely to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk with you. What's going on?
Excuse the Tennessee accent.
I just love it.
Not me. So I had two questions for you, actually, today.
Uh-huh.
My first question is, I'm 18 and I'm a senior in high school. And I'm fairly well-liked, and I go to a good school and everything's fine. And I'm also a very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question is concerning maintaining a spiritual mindset throughout the day, because it seems like I can wake up in the morning with a great sense of spiritual well-being and feeling so good and feeling my destiny and feeling so self-accepting and everything, and also in the afternoon or generally when I'm outside of school. As soon as I walk through the door at school, this different side of me comes out, and I start thinking, oh, how do I look today, or do I need more clothes even though I have plenty, or, oh, what does this person think of me today, or all these other thoughts. And it seems like this entire different paradigm comes up inside me, this entire perception and I really would like to just maintain my spiritual mindfulness all day, but it seems like as soon as I walk through the door, it just is all negated.
Well, it seems to me like what you have laid out for us is exactly what the Buddha taught. Okay? So what he told us is that we each have one person to save. And, of course, the one person that we have to save is not the spiritual part of us. Right? Because that's the part that's going to do the saving.
Right.
Right? So you wake up in the morning and you have a sense of yourself as a part of this universe, and there it sounds like there's compassion, and you said self-acceptance and all of those kinds of things. So that's what's there.
Yes.
And then you go to school, and we would see perhaps the part of us that we would talk about as the personality or the ego.
And it mainly shows up in school. I mean, even when I'm out of school around people and daily life, I can deal with it, but...
Right. But you get around your peers.
Yes, around peers. Even around adults, I can act differently than I act around peers.
Yeah. And that part of you comes out who is a little anxious and insecure and
right.
wants
yeah.
to be liked and wants to fit in. And so...
Common high school thing, yeah.
Pardon me?
It's a common high school thing. But.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Yeah, although I will say, not just there, right? I mean, there are an awful lot of people who struggle with that and just take it to whatever area of life they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they get out of school, they get a job, and there it is there. They're, you know, they're in the dating thing, and there it is there. So that, to identify with that illusion, what I talk about is that illusion of a separate self who feels outside of life and can get fairly desperate to feel accepted and included, it is not an uncommon human experience. So there he is. And the trick is to find compassion for him. In other words, it's not that you are a spiritual person and you stop being a spiritual person when he comes out. It's that what you're looking for is the conscious, compassionate awareness that can embrace both sides of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it sounds like the one who gets the most acceptance from you is the spiritual part of you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not certain that that's any more centered than this guy who is concerned about how he fits in with his peers.
Oh, so you're saying need to accept both sides.
Exactly. And to do that, of course, what's required of us is to move to that place of center that can see, okay, well, this guy has a very spiritual side of himself. That's great. And this guy has a very kind of social, interactive side of himself, and that's great too. So both of those are perfectly fine, and both of those can be embraced, and like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because what we want to do is say, this is good, that's not as good.
Yeah, I read your book on There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of thinking of that. I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I should accept, you know, this side that appreciates, you know, social clothing and all this stuff. And
that's right. Well, and, you know, you can actually be for him that conscious, compassionate awareness, right? So if, you know, when you were a little guy, maybe you were 8 or 9 years old, and you're just kind of starting to make your way around. You know, there's that beginnings of self-consciousness. You know, you're not just out riding your bike or playing baseball or whatever you did. You know, there's more of an awareness of people. And
it's funny. I remember my first feeling of shame, I think.
Uh-huh. Okay. There you go. Now, wouldn't it have been great if you had had, like, an older brother or an uncle or somebody like that who could talk you through that, help you understand that and see yourself a little clearer and be able to accept yourself? And
yes.
Yeah. So that's the opportunity that you have with this guy now. He's in high school. You know, he feels a lot of peer pressure, and there's a he would like to be accepted.
I'd like to think I was, you know, beyond that.
That's right. That's right. We do like to think that. And yet, if we step back a little bit, we can see that that's perhaps not a really spiritual perspective.
Right.
Yeah, to want to be beyond people, to kind of look down on them and say, well, you know, he's not, he's just not that far along. He's kind of, you know, it's not.
Even when we're looking at ourselves, we're looking down on parts of ourselves.
Exactly. So it's hard to imagine somebody like the Buddha taking that attitude toward him.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really where we're moving toward, is compassion no matter what.
So No matter what.
Whether somebody meets my standards of where a person should be in life or not, my work is to get to a place of compassion.
Right.
Not to decide who is worthy of my compassion and who is not.
Even those parts of myself.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, Jesus had the best way of talking about it. This is my interpretation of it anyway. When he said, as ye do to the least of my brethren, so do ye unto me.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure that applies to ourselves as well as what we think of as external people.
Oh.
Right? So you are required to show as much loving kindness and respect for all of the aspects of yourself as you are required to find and experience for the rest of the people in the world.
That puts it in total perspective for someone like me.
Yeah, yeah. So there you are. Now you get to be mentor to this guy. And it's not telling him that he shouldn't worry about clothes or it doesn't matter how he looks or who cares what they think. It's helping him understand himself and to become more confident and easy with himself and secure so that he knows he's all right no matter how he looks or what anybody says or what clothes he's wearing.
Right.
Yeah, and you can offer him that.
And my other question is, in meditation, sometimes I look within and look deep down and I just feel emptiness, and at other times I look deep down and feel compassion and love and light, and I don't know, you know, sometimes I look within and, you know, I see like just emptiness, there's no aspect there or anything, and then sometimes I feel light and love and that energy, that light energy of love or that feeling of love pour through me, and at other times it's just like
nobody,
a wall. There's like a plane there. There's like, yeah, nobody's there, nothing's there, no part of me is there. You know, who am I? Where am I? What aspect of myself is myself? You know, I really don't know.
Well, I think that both of these are the same question, which is really handy. Because when you figure one out, you know, you'll have the other one figured out.
Yeah.
So you know that place of wholeness, of non-separate reality, when you're right there and the entire universe is compassion as far as you can tell.
Right, like everything feels love and light.
Yes, and you can see that everything can be embraced in that. And so what you're looking for then is that, to find that, to embrace the emptiness.
To find
the wholeness that embraces the emptiness.
So find the love that embraces the emptiness I feel.
That's right.
So there.
Can you
say how are they? The wholeness and love I feel also embraces that emptiness.
Yes.
Within that.
Yes.
Where I'm not feeling anything.
Yes. So it's with the young man who's going to school and worried about his how he looks and his clothes,
mm-hmm.
okay, in wholeness, he is embraced.
Right.
There is room for him, too.
Right.
There is also, in wholeness, room for emptiness.
Okay.
That can also be embraced.
So when I'm in that emptiness, I shouldn't feel like, you know, where did that other part go? Where did all these other parts go?
That's right. In fact, there will be a moment when you're feeling that emptiness and you'll have that awareness that, yes, this too, yes, this is part of wholeness too, and you'll feel the love for it.
All right.
Excellent.
That helps me a lot. Thank you so much.
It has been a great pleasure speaking with you.
It's been a great honor speaking with you, too.
Take care, Daryl.
You too. Thank you, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Daryl. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, are teenagers today different than from when I was younger? I am amazed.
Yeah.
I am amazed.
You know, the Buddha supposedly said that there are people born with just a thin layer of dust over their eyes, and you just have to, and they can see clearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's quite
wonderful
exciting.
Thing, huh?
Yes.
Now, the next time some old grouch starts complaining about teenagers, we'll just tell them about Daryl.
Daryl from Tennessee. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Give us a call today. We'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free, 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open, and we'd love to talk with you here. Sherry, so it's possible to accept no matter what comes up?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, that's as you very well know, I'm constantly talking about how and what. Process and content. And
yeah.
So that little expression that I use, compassion no matter what, is that play in my mind. You know, compassion no matter what. That's a common kind of expression. But if we think about it, compassion no matter what, compassion regardless of content, then it just kind of takes it to a new level. It for me, it makes it very real. I can say compassion no matter what, and then something arises, and it's like, well, except for that. But if it's compassion regardless of the content, then our work is really cut out for us. And with what we were talking about with Daryl, that's the whole secret of it, is realizing that there's compassion, and then this arises, and my compassion needs to grow to embrace that. And then something else comes up, and then I realize that, whoa, compassion is big enough to embrace that too. And for often we will approach it that way with externals. And then we get to the point that Daryl was talking about, where the two begin to merge as we realize the compassion embraces everything in here. It's going to embrace everything out there. Whoops, there's no difference. It's all one. And then there is simply the compassion. And we're looking at what is it that keeps me from experiencing that compassion? Well, that's the thing that I've identified with, that I'm clinging to, that I think I am, that is there instead of compassion. And then it's like, when you're cooking, there'll be things like egg whites that get folded in to a dish.
Yeah.
And that's the image that, in fact, I'm actually moving my hand to make that motion. It's that everything is being folded in, and then it feels like the compassion is being folded in to everything. Until it's completely blended, because it's an illusion that there is anything other than compassion. Compassion is the essential nature of everything, including emptiness.
As you were talking about with Daryl.
Yeah.
This is great.
It
this is
isn't
big.
Mm-hmm. We're all at the blanket.
Say that again?
It's all the blanket.
It's all the blanket from the movie I Heart Huckabees.
That's correct.
Great. We're going to be taking a break here, and we'll be back in a minute, so give us a call. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. Stay tuned here for our final segment on today's show. We'll be talking more about conscious compassion awareness and taking your calls. Welcome back to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're taking your calls today and talking about conscious compassionate awareness. Give us a call today at 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open here. Sherry, it's great to get such a variety of people calling in. It makes for a really rich experience for me.
It does. I love it. It's so interesting to think about the number of people. I'm thinking about this a lot lately because of this event that we're doing.
Uh-huh.
I've been hearing myself say to people that I keep having this fantasy of everybody who shares a vision or a dream or a desire for this to be a conscious, compassionate, loving planet. I want us all to stand up at the same time. And I think we would just be stunned by how many of us there are, really heartened, that there's this myth that we're the minority, and we're not. I'm convinced that we're not. And so something like this, just, you know, we talk to somebody in Tennessee, and then we talk to somebody in North Carolina, and somebody up in Washington State, and somebody in Minnesota, somebody in Arizona, and you think, well, it's just one person. But, you know, we're not alone. We're not alone in these places. And so it's fun.
Uh-huh. So it would be fun, in your mind, if all the conscious, compassionate people who are looking for a conscious, compassionate, peaceful planet would stand up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could all see each other.
We could all see each other. Yes, we could wave. We could high five. We could, have parties. We could just know that we're here.
Yes.
That we're here. And so the kind of driving force of my life is that notion that your life experience, the quality of your life, is determined by the focus of your attention. And it is so easy in this world to get our attention focused on what's wrong. What's wrong, it sells. What's wrong, you know, just fear, not enough, loss, lack, deprivation, tragedy, everything bad that happened to anybody around the planet today. It's just a constant stream of that into our awareness. And the temptation is to get fascinated by that and go with that. And then that determines the quality of our lives. From there, it's easy to move into a place of hopelessness or despair or depression or whatever it is that we react to when it feels like we're just being overwhelmed with bad news.
Uh-huh.
And so to shift that around and start realizing, I'm not talking about affirmations. You know, I'm not talking about, oh, it's hopeless and awful, but let's just put on a happy face and you know, focus on the bright side. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that the real reality, the real reality, Michael, the actual thing is not all of that gloom and doom. That is largely manufactured.
Yes.
And when we stop doing that, when we turn our attention away from that, what we see is what's underneath that. And there, it's you know, you take a walk out in nature, and you sense what I'm talking about. You know, you get in a conversation with somebody that actually finds out from that person what's the deepest desire of their heart. What are their dreams? What are they taking a stand for in their life? What's important to them? What's meaningful? And we find out that all of this this economy driving fear and insecurity and anxiety is not who we really are. And who we really are when we get back to it is open-hearted and kind and wanting good for our children, for one another, for the planet. You know, I mean, there are studies done that actually prove this. You know, the statistics that you know, the number of people who are concerned about the planet, who place ecology really high up there on the things that they want their tax money to be spent on. Concern about children, about health care, about education, these kinds of things. This is what we truly value, and our precious life force and our attention and awareness is being sucked away by the fear and the gloom and the anxiety and the everything that's wrong and not enough. That's what I think.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Shara Huber on World Talk Radio. Give us a call today if you'd like to join our conversation. Phone number is 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open, and that's a toll-free call. Shara, it seems really valuable to me what you were talking about, this myth or belief that we are the minority who wants this for the world.
Yes.
Because from there, it's so easy to go into despair and, you know, I could try to do something, but it's really not going to make a difference.
Right. Well, and, it pits. I wish we had better words than positive and negative, because that's really not what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Because if we talk about it like that, it sounds like those things are real and they're not.
Yes.
But just if we understand they're not real, then we go ahead and talk about them. If you value conscious, compassionate awareness, if you value kindness, say, let's just take it down to that, if you value kindness, and it seems as though you're in the minority, that if you care about other people or the environment or creatures or whatever it is, and it starts feeling like you're the only one who's like that, then it does two things. One, it takes away the ability to focus wholeheartedly on what you value, and there's also a temptation then to be in conflict with the people you perhaps perceive as the enemy,
yes.
the people who you perceive as not valuing those things.
As unkind.
Yes.
The unkind people.
The unkind people.
Huh?
And at a time like this in this country, where we're coming up to the elections, and it's so polarized, it's not just this group of people values this and wants to pull everybody in this direction. This group of people values this and wants to pull everybody in this direction. Both sides can lose sight of what they value in a desperate attempt to overcome the perceived enemy.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes a it's like a tug of war.
Yes.
Yeah, and so this side is pulling this way, and that side is pulling that way, and nobody's going anywhere. All of the energy is consumed in the tug of war. And so that's another fantasy that I have regularly, is that just everybody who wants to go in a different direction, who wants to go anywhere, just drop the rope and walk off in the direction of what it is that you want to accomplish.
Uh-huh.
Regardless of what anybody else is doing. Doesn't
uh-huh.
matter what anybody else is doing. And then along your way, find all of the like-minded and like-hearted people who are going to join you in that endeavor.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you want clean water, then don't waste your time fighting people who are making water dirty. Just go out there and start cleaning up water and find all the people who also want to do that with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rather than putting energy into resisting what we don't want.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. If it is true that the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention, then do you want to be focused on what you perceive as an enemy and focused on resistance to something that you don't approve of or don't like?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you like your attention focused on what you want to see happen in the world and all of the steps that you're taking toward that?
Yes.
You know, it's one of those, if you want to feel loved, then the fastest way to feel that way is to love.
Uh-huh.
And then you feel love. And when you feel love, you feel loved. You are loved. You're loving.
Uh-huh.
So it's just so straightforward compared
yeah.
to I want to be loved, but, you know, nobody really loves me the way I want to be loved, and so I feel unloved, and I feel kind of bitter and angry and upset and pretty miserable and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, reminds me of the quotation from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes. And then the change you want to see in the world has happened.
Yes, because you're doing it.
You're doing it. And then, of course, you might run into somebody who would say, yeah, but you're just one person. And no, you're not. You're just in a process of connecting up with all of the other one persons.
Yes. As you were talking about earlier,
yeah.
that myth of the minority.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're very excited to be here, coming up near the end of our hour here. Sherry, I just wanted to reiterate a couple of big events coming up this weekend in San Francisco, Day of Prayer and Peace for Meditation. Any information about that?
Actually, that would be... Now, that was different than we usually say it.
I think I reversed the words there.
Well, something was out of sync sequence, wasn't it?
Day of Meditation and Prayer for Peace.
That sounds right.
That sounds good.
That sounds good.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that one. Yeah.
Yes.
And then a walk across the Golden Gate Bridge for vulnerable children in Africa.
Oh, wow. What could be better?
Yeah. And it might sprinkle on us, and that's good, too.
And
we just bring our umbrellas and get out there and enjoy the weather.
That's wonderful. Yes. If you want to listen to this show when we're not on the air, you can check into the archives at World Talk Radio, and you'll be able to listen to these great shows when you can't catch us during the hour here. So give us a call next week or email us at openair@livingcompassion.org. Sherry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.